I wonder whatever stage in life you're at, whether you believe that living with Jesus as Lord and Savior is the best way. It's the best way for life now. Do you believe that there is no better way that you could live the years that you have? Psalm 84 is a song of a pilgrim. He's on his way to Jerusalem, heart set on pilgrimage, you see there in verse 5. And in that way, Psalm 84 is very like some of the Psalms of ascent, which happen later on the Psalms, Psalm 120 to 134. That is, this song is a song of a journey of life with God to our Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. But don't get the wrong impression here. This pilgrim believer sings not because life is easy, not because they get out of bed feeling so wonderfully close to the Lord. No, what we see is this pilgrim sings to remind themselves that there is no better way. Every day. And more than that, though, that in a world full of distractions, or as we see in verse 10, a world full of tents of the wicked, this pilgrim sings to protect themselves. Well, how? How does that happen? Well, the song penetrates hearts, doesn't it, with truth that will cultivate delight and deep joy for the living God, that trusting Him in all the joys, but also all the sorrows of life, is the best way, is the most fulfilled way, the blessed way, as we'll see throughout this song. If you are currently struggling in life, I guess some of us might be there. Happens to us all at times, doesn't it? Be thankful that God's word and God's church to us speaks truth to us in love. God's word does that, and as we speak that truth into one another, that's what's happening now. And if you're feeling distant from the Lord, please try to, why don't you just read this song, maybe every morning as you wake up. It takes 1 minute and 39 seconds to do so. I've tried it. Why? To remember and protect as you go through this week. Let's dive in if we can. I've got 3 points. And you'll notice if you look through it, there's some refrains, some repeats as you go through. Did you see the blesseds as you go through? So we've got, blessed is the one who dwells with the Lord. We'll see that in verse 4. Then verse 5, blessed is the one whose strength is in the Lord. And then the last verse, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Let's see if we can, though, go to verse naught. It's not got a naught, but it's the superscription. It's that little bit in italics at the beginning. You'll see there something about this song. It tells us a few things. Firstly, it was written by the sons of Korah. The prophet Samuel rose from a line of Korah, as you know, and the Korahites became the doorkeepers at the tabernacle. During the reign of King David, they become the great leaders of music in the tabernacle, and 11 of the 150 psalms are written by them. These guys rocked, basically. On what? Well, we see on the gittith. We have no clue what that is. It seems to be a stringed instrument, but it's not an electric guitar, so I'm sorry about that. It could be a melody. Some people would argue that. We don't know. But it only gets used 3 times in the book of Psalms. Psalms 8, 81, and 84. Note that down for a quiz later on, if you like. The sons of Korah, though, appear in 2 groupings of psalms. In the 40s, we get there, in 42, 44, 45, 46, 47, 48, 49. So there's a little group there. And then in the 80s, 84, 85, 87, 88. Now, the opening psalm of each of those groups, 42 and 84, which we're looking at here, they're similar. You'll know 42. As a deer pants for the water. You know that one? They both focus, though, you see, on longing. On longing to dwell with the Lord in His house. 42 focuses on longing. But now, in 84, we get longing. But a longing that where there's certainty. Where longing will be satisfied. That's a bit of context. You see where they sit. But let's see, let's dive in, shall we, at verse 1. Blessed is the one who dwells with the Lord. That's what we're going to see here. Look at verse 1 again. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. That's really Lord of hosts, or actually Lord of armies. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out or sing for joy for the living God. I wonder, do you yearn? Do you long with that kind of longing to be close with God? The song declares how lovely that it would be. Literally, it's saying the beloved one. It is beloved, blessed to be dwelling with the presence of the Lord. This longing is deep, isn't it? Yearning. It's for everything of their being. How lovely, he declares, to be there, to enjoy that. I wonder what you yearn for. Some of you parents, we had a young dad here. You know, can you imagine a picture, a hot beach, cool drink in hand, kids oft entertained elsewhere? What a wonderful picture that is for some of us right now. Oh, this is infinitely better. Why? Well, because this pilgrim is describing being with the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, literally the Lord of armies. The pilgrim longs to be home, essentially, with their kingdom commander. How much does he long to be there? He longs, he craves, faints, he's exhausting himself. It suggests this person really is, you put all those together, he's being torn apart by his longing. How is that expressed? Well, you've got to chuck kind of British reservedness. I know it's hard for some of you. You've just got to chuck that out of the window for a moment, okay? My heart and the flesh cry out, sing for joy for the living God. It's not an unrealistic longing, though. It's not like me every year coming round to, I long to win the FA Cup and score a few goals and hold the trophy aloft in Wembley. That's an unrealistic longing. No, the pilgrim knows the host and so sings with certainty. Look at verse 3. Even the sparrow finds a home, a swallow, a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altars. Again, the Lord Almighty comes up there, that Lord of hosts phrase. My King and my God. See, the pilgrim is delighting here in the Lord's tender hospitality, noting that even the small bird finds a home at the altars of who? It's the kingdom commander again. The Lord of hosts, Lord Almighty. And that picture of hospitality is so tender, isn't it? But look how awesome the host is. And so the pilgrim reminds his heart, singing, blessed are those who dwell in your house, they're ever praising you. So you've got this wonderful picture of tender safety, being close, not distant, but ultimately is a picture of blessing. Blessed are those who dwell. You'll see those blessed phrases popping up throughout the psalm. They're like the Beatitudes in some way of Matthew 5, if you know those. The song repeats the blessing, or literally the happiness here the pilgrim knows. He's saying there's no better way. There's no better way to go through life. Such is the blessing. There isn't an alternative. Joy comes, happiness comes, eternal security comes. The blessed way. How? Being close to Lord Almighty, the commander of the eternal kingdom. And as we'll see, this pilgrim hasn't jumped out of bed and immediately looked at his circumstances throughout life. He's saying, oh, it's all good. No, he's not saying that. He's not skipping down the road going, yeah, work's good and family life's good and marriage is good, singleness is good, kids are good, bank account good. It's not like that. Because life is not like that. But he still sings this song because he knows that blessed is the one who comes close to the Lord Almighty. There is no better way than being close to him. And he knows that. And we see here just this natural outpouring of joy. They're ever praising you. he says. First point then, blessed is the one who dwells with the Lord. Secondly, blessed is the one whose strength is in the Lord. Do you see there? Blessed are, again there, blessed are those whose strength is in you. Verse 5, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. Literally, it's in whose heart is the highways to Zion. Basically, it's blessed is the one who doesn't try to do things their way, live their way, in their own strength, with their own ability. And friends, that is hard, isn't it? If you've been dealt the hand where you've been educated well, you've got some money and so on, if you're successful and you're driven amongst us, this is particularly hard. Why? Because we're so often told, oh, we know the best way. And yeah, if you just rely on yourself, you'll get through and everything will be fine. But the better way is living God's way and in His strength. And we don't know whether verse 5 is actually speaking of a literal pilgrimage or just a pilgrimage they're making in their hearts. It doesn't really matter. The pilgrim here is strengthened by God as they go God's way in their heart. I remember driving back, I was coming back from Suffolk. I was teaching up there a few months ago. Beautiful sunset over all the fields there, you know, the arable, you know, farming, and all the crops were up. And I was looking, have you ever seen on the, I know nothing about farming, just to, like a caveat here. But there we were, watching all these fields. You see those little tram tracks that go down all the fields where the tractors go? You know, they go there to you know, spread all the fertilizer, and then they go down those tracks as well in order to, you know, take in all the crops at the end of the harvest. For the greatest yield, you've got to drive down that track. That's the highway that you've got to go. It's the best way to drive on that field. Well, what we see here is that God strengthens the pilgrim, and in their heart, they want to go down the right track. God's way than His highway. Why? Blessed is the one. There's no better way than going God's way. But the journey may not be easy. Look at verse 6. It says, you know, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rain also covers it with pools. I think this might be my favorite verse of this psalm. Because I think the imagery is so beautiful. The pilgrims here is pictured going through the valley of Baca. That Baca word actually is the word for a particular tree, the balsam tree, where ointment would have been taken from it, drawn from it to help clear ulcers in those times. The balsam trees actually grew in very dry places, which is probably in mind here, going through that valley, a dry place. The pilgrim is going through a very dry valley of life. You get the imagery. But the word Baca in the original sounds virtually identical to the verb to cry or to weep. And that is why old translations of this psalm would have described this as the valley of weeping or the valley of tears. Now, look back at that verse, verse 6. As they go through the valley of Baca, the valley of tears, they make it a place of springs. Their tears going through the dry valley, the hard stuff of life, their struggle, their suffering, it brings life, springs. Life can throw anything you see at the believer. If you're going God's way, it can be hard, it can be dry, it can be filled with tears day after day. And yet in God's strength, with a heart walking along His highway, there's blessing. Tears become refreshment and blessing if we trust in the Lord and His strength. But even better, we don't walk alone because God always provides refreshment for every step of the way. We see at the end of verse 6, the autumn rains. Who provides the rain? God. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. I don't know if you've ever walked with a toddler with welly boots on and they come across a very large puddle. Any parent will know that you spent hours around puddles like that. You know the joy on their face. You remember it? Just hours of fun. Splashing away. And you're getting cold and probably quite grumpy. But you see their face. It's just full of joy. That is the kind of joy and blessedness pictured here. In spite of the tears. In spite of the pain and sorrow. God provides and strengthens in his blessing. And you have to ask yourself, I think, why would you go down any other track, any other highway? Why ignore God's way in this life, in any area of life? God's path, God's track, his highway is right there. Yes, it might be hard at times, really hard at times. But God will strengthen us with every step of the way. Look at the result, verse 7. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. There is a sense, I think, in verse 7 that as the goal of the pilgrim comes into view, it serves to increase their strength. Have you ever been walking up a mountain, you go over that little hill and you go, oh, it's there, it's nearly there, I can sit down and stop. They go from strength to strength with the end goal in sight. I wonder how we apply this to us. If we think some of those New Testament passages we know and love so much, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, Paul tells the church in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. What is seen is temporary, says, but what is unseen is eternal. Hebrews, when the writer's there in Hebrews 12, 2, says, look, you fix your eyes on Jesus. Each morning when we get up, when we wake up, before anything, fix your eyes on the unseen. The hope of glory secured by the Lord Jesus. In a sense, we make him every morning the highway of our heart, don't we? Entrusting ourselves to his strength for every step of the way. There's no better way. And we pray like this pilgrim. Look at it, verse 8. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Cry out to the Lord Almighty. The kingdom commander, hear my prayer. Look, I'm tired. I'm distracted by life. I'm proud. I'm lonely. All the things that are in our hearts and lives every day. Cry out to the kingdom commander, the Lord Almighty, and he promises to bless us by strengthening us for that day ahead. Blessed is the one who dwells in the Lord. Secondly, blessed is the one whose strength is in the Lord. Thirdly, blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Last few verses. Do you notice how the praise of verse 1 to 7 is interrupted by prayer in verse 8? Do you see that? Now that prayer continues slightly differently, though, because the prayer becomes a corporate prayer for the anointed king in verse 9. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. As you know, if you know your Bibles, that God works, doesn't he, for his people through an anointed one, a king. Anointed is literally the Messiah term there. The pilgrim joins here with the people to pray that God would look, or literally his face would come upon, to show favor to his anointed, who is the shield of his people. Now that might seem strange to us, kind of strange talk, but that is God's way. God protects and rescues his people by enabling an anointed king to lead and to shield his people. And this is God's way, and it's the best way for all pilgrim believers. But why? Look at verse 10. You know this one so well, I'm sure. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Look at the comparison. For all the moments in the pleasure that you can find in the tents of the wicked, all that they could offer, and he's saying, oh, even the threshold of the Lord's house, just being a doorkeeper, well, that's better by far. But why? Why is being with God, enjoying God, so much better? Well, let's be honest, it doesn't feel like that sometimes, does it? But that's why the pilgrim here is singing this song. It's to blow his mind, to expand his heart. He's cultivating his love for the Lord here. And look how he does it, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Blameless or upright there. He's singing to remind his head, but also his heart, that the Lord is, we'll see a few things here. The Lord is a sun. Do you see that? He's reminding himself that God is, the Lord is a powerful force, a life-giving light, but also an exposing light to our sin. Exposing perhaps what we've done in the tents of wickedness. Secondly, he reminds, he sings to remind his head and his heart that the Lord is a shield. You look back to verse 9, you see the anointed one there. The anointed king was an impressive shield. But this is another contrast. It's kind of, if you've ever seen Crocodile Dundee, it's kind of like, call that a shield. You know, it's kind of a contrast here. The Lord God is the shield of shields, the great shield, a seriously awesome, scary shield. And how should that make us feel? Our hearts and minds should explode with delight. Why? Because that all-powerful, seeing judge, the Son, will also shield and protect us, even though we do not deserve it. And we see at the end of verse 11, that the Lord bestows favor and honor, undeserved kindness, undeserved status. If we walk his way in his strength, he's got us. And we're safe. Do you see how blessed we can be doing life God's way? I wonder, do you need any more convincing? Look at the end of verse 11. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Note that he doesn't say nothing does he withhold. God isn't saying no good thing that you think is good in your mind will he withhold. There's no Porsche convertible for me. Look at what God promises. If we make a highway in our hearts to him, no good thing or thing for our good will he withhold. And in reality, that might mean a few trips through the valley of Baca for our good. And God will use the hard stuff of our lives for our good. He will strengthen us through it, and he'll do it for his purposes and for our good. I think many of you know that I've been through a few things in the last few years with a few tears, but looking back, I wouldn't want it any other way. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Do you see how our longings and our hearts lead the steps of our lives? So verse 5, the blessed hearts is strengthened by God, and their hearts are a highway to God. They're strengthened. The Lord is their sun and their shield through that. They walk uprightly, and therefore the Lord doesn't withhold any good thing from them. Do you see the progression? And I have to ask, what is stopping you from that? It's probably some inviting tent, to use the image of verse 10. What is your tent of wickedness, if you like? We all have them. Some tents are filled with pride. Some tents are filled with lust. There is an epidemic of loneliness in our culture. Know your tent. The thing that distracts you. They do look so inviting, don't they, sometimes? But they are a fast track away from God and his blessing. So how are we going to do this? Look how the song ends. It's interesting. Verse 11 requires the pilgrim to live looking beyond the moment, entrusting themselves to the Lord. And then it says, verse 12, Lord Almighty, O Lord of hosts, again, that same phrase. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. Note blessing again. Blessed or happy is the one who trusts in God, who goes down his tracks in his strength, yeah? with all the tents of the wicked around, every step of our lives today, we're going to see all of these tents. But the psalm describes a better way, a more beautiful way, a more satisfying way, a safe way, a blessed way. And as the pilgrim sings, he longs for and is drawn to be home with the Lord to enjoy him in his presence. Now, friends, we sit here, don't we, as pilgrims this side of the cross. And therefore, we can rejoice even more because our Messiah, Jesus, has gone before us. And do you know, Jesus has sung this song perfectly. He walked an earthly pilgrimage, and so that through faith in him, we might know every spiritual blessing this psalm speaks of. Trusting Jesus, we can know the blessing of God's Spirit in our hearts as we walk along our journey to heaven. We trust our anointed shield, if you like, and long for the day when we will stand around the throne in the courts of heaven, face to face with the Lord Almighty, the commander of the kingdom. Does your heart and your soul and your flesh cry out for that day? Do you sing with joy today, knowing the safety that Jesus has secured in the eternal house of God for those who have trusted him? Or do you just feel a bit tired, a bit weary in life and in relationship with God? Remember this. Remember that Jesus' heart and flesh cried out, like the pilgrim in verse 2. And yet he cried out, didn't he, on a cross with a cry of abandonment. Psalm 22 says, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus experienced in eternity past the blessing of it dwelling in the house of the Lord. He knew the safety. He knew all the joy. But he was willing to walk a track on earth, to be abandoned, to go through a much darker valley of tears, trusting the Lord with every step along that highway. And his father withheld love from his son Jesus so that we could know the blessing of this psalm. And friends, to the degree that you allow your heart and mind to be melted by our Messiah, will there be the degree to which you allow your heart to be led along that highway of the Lord? And your steps will be upright and blameless, and you'll know his blessing. There is a better way. And that is what this song declares. As we close, can I just tell you three things? Three things that have hit me this week as I've looked at this. First thing, I have been struck this week at how dumb I can be when I look at tents that look inviting in comparison to being close to God and vulnerable with him, dwelling in his house, knowing his presence. I can be so dumb looking at that rather than knowing his intimate presence. Secondly, I've been struck that as a pilgrim, I do not travel alone. I have pilgrim friends. I have a church family to walk along beside me. And I have the ultimate pilgrim who has opened up the way with favor and honor from the Lord of hosts who will one day welcome me home. And thirdly, this is the stinger for me. I've been struck by the fact that we miss nothing of value if our walk is blameless, upright. Most of lives today is that kind of FOMO, fear of missing out. That is banished when we rest in God's better way that this song sings. So Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. One of my favorite hymn writers, the great William Cooper, he wrote this, and I will pray it as we close. Shall we pray? Oh, for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly frame, a light to shine upon the road that leads me to the Lamb. Heavenly Father, may we hear your word. May we delight to apply your word to our lives and rejoice in the blessed way that this song sings that leads us to the Lamb. Amen.